This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Bruins Pastrnak on for Marchand. Marchand around back of the net. Works to the near side to the blue line to Pastrnak over on the far wing. It goes to Krug. Back to Pastrnak. Now to Marchand. To Pastrnak. Scores! The hat trick!
En route to a 5-1 Boston win over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight from the TD Boston Garden. Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert, and Jimmy Ralph with you to sum up the loss. Post-game roundtable brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. Gibby, what'd you make of that?
Wow, what a game. Like, change of momentum three times. I mean, the first period was pretty much all Toronto with the shot totals. Not only that, but grade A opportunities. And they weren't able to capitalize, and Boston snuck out with the one. And then the second period, you know, Boston comes out and turns the tables. And it was almost a mirror image, only different team situation. So Boston took it. Toronto started to fight back, but you know, Boston goes into the third period with the lead. And I thought Leafs came out hard in the third period and started to play real well. I thought, you know, if they had an opportunity and they were going to bury it and make it 3-2, it was going to be an interesting game. But again, the Halak shut them down, and you know, Boston capitalized on their chances. And it's just one of those nights, and you can't blame it on one person. You know, Garrett Sparks, or you know, I thought he looked a little shaky. There's no question, especially the rebound control in some of those situations. But for the most part, I thought they worked pretty hard. But Boston made them pay for every mistake they made.
Ralphie, I mean, that Boston line is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of a cartoon I saw a long time ago where a kid's coming home after school with his baseball glove, and his father said, "How was the game?" And the kid said, "I had a no-hitter going until the big kids got out of school." And that, but to me, that's what it looked like tonight. When finally, when the big kids showed up for Boston, it was over. And give Bruce Cassidy a lot of credit. We said it during the broadcast. He had the last change in his matchup that he wanted was Bergeron's line against Tavares. And I think that's why Babcock switched Marner and Kapanen at one point in the second period just to try to get away from that matchup. But, you know, Boston came through, and it was their big guys. I can't say that their third, fourth lines, even their second line, generated a whole lot. But when the moment came down to it, was whether it was on the power play or five-on-five, it just seemed that they ended up with most of the zone time.
Ralph, do you think that the Bruins themselves like to make those like backdoor plays?
Oh God! I mean, when you've got guys, and you know Tavares is up there to a certain extent as well, but when you get guys that can one time it like that, he doesn't have the Ovechkin or the Stamkos like half slapper, but this is the snap to get it away quickly. Yeah. Probably closer to Austin Matthews, but I mean this is a talented kid. And the other side of it, though, is, you know, Marchand is still somebody, regardless of some of the antics that you know, really sour a lot of people on him, is a talented, hardworking kid. But Patrice Bergeron is still one of the most complete players I think you have in the game right now. I mean, some of the setups he made, but here he is out on every penalty kill as well. And I know sometimes, you know, you get through a game and you say, well, our goalie won you a game. Well, I really believe this was our three most valuable forwards. Won us a game.
Yeah, I mean their chemistry. There is sort of as I was saying to Gibby earlier on in the second intermission. It's like three versions of the same guy. They're interchangeable, and there's no hesitation on anything. They just they're not searching for anything. They know where the other guys are, and they feed them, and it's in the net.
Yeah, and what's kind of funny about how the hockey gods seem to operate as well. I watched the Vancouver-Boston game a couple of nights ago. Everything Vancouver threw to the net was a tip, and it was in, and it was a screen, and it was off a skate. And then last night, everything the Leafs throw towards the net seems to go in. Tonight, the Leafs throw 20 towards the net, and nothing goes in. You know, you think you're going to get on a roll one way or another, but once Boston survived the first period, I didn't really think it was that close. I thought the Leafs had some push back. But I thought Boston was the sharper team. Halak was solid in the first period, but I still don't think I can point to two or three unbelievable saves he made. to keep them in. I think he was solid. There was a lot of traffic in the crease, a lot of pucks being jammed towards the net, but I don't think there was anything, no backdoor plays that he had to go post to post or no spectacular glove saves. I thought he was solid, but the Leafs couldn't find a way to get a break, a redirection, or a rebound.
Well, let's look at the other end. What do you think of Garrett Sparks' game? I thought he made some decent saves, but he looked shaky.
Yeah, and there was I especially noticed in the second period, Gibby, a lot of point shots in and out of the glove.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sharp, you follow that in, and you're able to make the stop. And now here's a tough thing. I mean, he's learning this role, and it's not easy. It's so much easier to be the 50-60 game guy.
Oh, for sure.
Where you know you're going and you get a rhythm in the season and everything else. So for Garrett Sparks, this is about learning the role. And unfortunately, class is only, every 3 or 4 weeks. You can practice all you want, but this is, a role that kind of screws with your psyche. Where I'm sure he looked, luckily, I think, that he got into the game against Los Angeles at home when Anderson didn't dress. But I'm sure he's looking at the schedule and saying, all right, I guess Anaheim's next after this one, which is good because it's next Friday. But if Mike Babcock stays true to form and he says the backup guy's playing the second of back-to-backs and that's it, I don't know if a goaltender, if that's a good thing for him to know his schedule ahead of time. I think when you saw him go in against L.A. and win 4-1, sometimes it's better to find out in the morning skate that you're going in instead of, having all that worry and all that build-up towards one start.
Well, it works so well for McElhinney, but this is not Curtis McElhinney.
No, and that's the 10-year difference, though,
yeah.
Jimmer.
Yeah.
Curtis McElhinney had to learn the position or learn the role and be ready for it. And he was much better in his second year with the Leafs than he was the first. Mm-hmm. Had his struggles in Columbus. So it's not always the perfect scenario, So and then you look at who does he play. He plays in Chicago in the first game of back-to-backs, and then the second of back-to-backs in Boston. Those aren't exactly easy nights either.
Ralphie, what are you thinking of this power play? I know they scored at the end of the penalty when Carlo came out. Johnny Tavares popped it in from Marner's pass. But what do you think with this PP? It's starting to fall back into what happened last year, kind of static.
Yeah, and I think predictable, Gibby.
Yeah.
I think where really the only guy that's moving is Marner.
Yeah,
coming off the right wing boards. You've got Tavares at the front of the net and Kadri backdoor. They'll switch that up. But, you lose that the force of Austin Matthews in the left point, kind of sliding down towards the faceoff top where he can get let go of the one-timer. I mean, it's to me now teams, how you see the Leafs even on the penalty kill, you'll see four penalty killers in the corner battling for the loose puck, hopefully to win the battle to get it out. Teams aren't doing that against the Leafs power play. It's going to be a one-on-one battle, and everybody else is going to stay in the box in front of the net and try to take the lanes away. And I think that's what's happened. People have been able to look at the video and say, okay, Marner's coming off the boards. It's either going to be a backdoor or it's going to be they're going to play for the redirection to Kadri in the middle of the ice. And, there haven't been really a lot of other options and not a lot of movement. You've got guys... it was kind of the table hockey setup where you got guys in their slots and there's not a lot of motion. You don't see somebody coming around behind the net to get away from the defense or try to surprise somebody. So I just think it's sad. I think teams are so good at defending, and you sit down and look at video for 5 or 10 minutes and you say, okay, we got it. We know exactly what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and not breaking down the coverage. And of course, the Boston power play tonight was a really good contrast, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at where Pasternak scored, he scored jumping down from the left point. He scored wide open at the top of the left wing circle. So, it's he's a guy that I do get it. Where you could say Washington's got a very predictable power play. They're gonna get it to a guy top of the left wing circle, and it's gonna go in. Tampa does the same thing. They got a guy that can do that. But I think from a Leafs standpoint, I think that's the one thing that hurts them on the power play side is they don't have that one big shot, whether it's a Burns, Carlson, Doughty, You know, Stamkos, Kucherov, and Ovechkin. The Leafs simply don't have that. So a lot of their success in the power play seems to be, as Pat Quinn used to call it, passing the puck into the net.
Yeah. How do you think they're going to respond? I know they're heading out west here and play Tuesday in, is it L.A. Tuesday?
L.A. Tuesday.
And, you know, they get the day off tomorrow. But, yeah, how do you think they're going to respond? I mean, they've got a rebound from this. And they did some good things. There's no question about it, Ralphie. But, you know, again, how do you think they're going to respond?
I think they'll be fine. I mean, used to be going out to California was it was Death Valley. I mean, you had all those teams were so good that you were lucky to get out of it. If you got a couple of points out of it, you'd be happy.
Yeah.
I don't think LA's out of the woods yet. They've been a little better of late, but the Leafs handled them pretty well. They're missing Jonathan Quick, and I think so highly of him that to me that's even a bigger loss than the Leafs with Austin Matthews. So I think it's you know, they go in there, they got a great chance to win a hockey game. I think if they play like they did in the first period here tonight, they'll be fine. Anaheim's had some struggles.
Yeah.
Even San Jose really hasn't been the powerhouse with Carlson that you thought they would be. So I think they'll be fine. I think for whatever reason, they seem to be a little faster on the road, and expect them to keep it going. But again, maybe a lot of talk is going to come down to the final game of that trip, which is right now probably going to be Garrett Sparks' little before start of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, to what you were saying before, though, if they put him in against L.A. or a game when he wasn't expecting, maybe that would help.
Yeah, or even, you know, you throw him into San Jose.
Yeah.
Now, and what we did see, remember Connor Hellebuyck, the Leafs played, for the Leafs it was back-to-back games with Winnipeg, but Winnipeg had a game in Detroit in between that on the Friday night, and it was a backup, what's the name, Boisvert? The goaltender played in Detroit on the Friday, and then Hellebuyck played the second of the back-to-backs on the Saturday. So, you know, every coach has his preference. And I mean, out of curiosity, Gibby, when you coached, what was your – did you have a preference with the goaltenders? Was it how guys were playing at a certain time, or did you sit down and sort of look at the schedule over the next few weeks and say this is when – the other guy's going
to
get in?
Well, you would try to put a plan together, there's no question, especially, I mean, coaching the American League or even the National League with a younger guy, you're trying to give him those back-to-back situations and play your top guy. But, you know, the game has changed so much, too, where you know, it's all about winning. So you're going to try to run your horse as much as you can. You know, like I was saying the other day, if I was coaching and this is just me, I would have played Anderson back-to-back because he's had they played, I think, last Saturday, then Tuesday, so they had 2 days there. Then they played Friday, they had 2 days there, and then they had the back-to-back here, and now they get another 2 days. I mean, that's some pretty good rest. That's not running your horse too hard. And if it's about winning, it's put your best horse in there. But, you know, there are times, obviously, where, you know, especially in junior hockey, you got – you know, 3-4 or 4-6 and or 4-5. So you got to use your back up there in those situations. But I got no issues, honestly, running my horse as hard as I can.
Well, and then, you know, and I go with that as well. And sometimes I think it that's a conversation between the coach and the goaltenders.
Yeah.
To find out how a guy's feeling if he wants to go back-to-back. And
yeah, I mean, you guys have no say in the matter. Just put the pads on and get in there.
But even in junior hockey, there are only so many guys that were the horses that could do stuff like that.
No, I know. It's usually...
Yeah. Hey, slow down, Seabiscuit.
So what you're saying is you and Killer had conversations.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, no, I can't
go
tonight.
He told me when to go in, and he told me when to come out.
You can give us a Killer impersonation, can't you?
No. Not... I've never done it uncensored. Or censored.
What are you wearing a glove for? Yeah. We're not going to go down that road.
Yeah. When you get somebody who says, I've seen curling rocks faster than that shot that went in, there's no real comeback.
What a morale booster that is.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks, coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, the comeback, I thought it was icing, is not acceptable as an excuse.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
See you soon. Have a good trip. Take care, Ralphie.
From the TD Boston Garden, where the Bruins prevailed by a score of 5-1 tonight over the Leafs. Anything you want to add, Gibby?
No, it's one of those nights. If they score, one or two early in the game and put Boston's on the Bruins on their heels, it may have been a different outcome. But Halak came up big, and they weren't able to finish. So, and again, I'm just saying, Boston, they made the Leafs pay for every mistake they made, and just one of those nights. You got to learn from it, move on, and get ready for Tuesday.
Well, that line was poison. I mean, Pastrnak has 3 goals tonight. Is 15 on the season. And that is Boston's 16th game. So, I mean,
but you know that. That's the thing is,
well, you
if
do,
I'm
but
the Leafs, I know that. So, you know what? Let's try to get them off their game. I didn't see anybody try to run the daylights out of Bergeron or Marchand or Pastrnak. Did you?
No, there wasn't much in the way of changing the way that river was flowing.
Right. Right. And yeah. And that's how you're going to beat teams like that with a line like that is you got to get them off their game.
However, you know the way the game's played today, can you?
Well, I
Oh.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Yeah,
okay.
There's nothing wrong with playing hard against people.
No, it's just that, this game that we talk about, we always go back to, they scored the first goal and it set the table. I mean, that should not be the case.
You're right.
And then you have a line that's dominant like that, and I know what you're saying because we would have seen it years ago that somebody would have figured out some way to stop that line. But I think the way the game goes, it's almost hard. Like, there are momentum changes. I couldn't tell you why they happen, though.
No, and it's cheating. It's trying to be fancy, high risk plays. That's usually how the momentum changes in a game. Now, is a team starts coming hard and everybody starts to panic a little bit and try to do too much, and all of a sudden the tide changes and you're on your heels, and then vice versa. We saw it 3 times happen tonight.
Well,
Toronto,
that's right.
Toronto to Boston in the first period, Boston to Toronto in the second, and then Toronto to Boston in the start of the third. And it is the game, Jim. There's no question about it.
Well, that first Bergeron goal is the result. He gets tossed out of the faceoff dot.
Yeah.
Pastrnak goes in, doesn't win the draw, but wins the battle along the boards with Riley. And seconds later, it's in the net. It's really inadvertent, all of that. And that momentum goes for probably the next 30 minutes.
I agree. And it came down to one thing. It was a one-on-one battle in the corner.
Yeah.
And if you don't think those things are important in a hockey game, especially at that level, you're very wrong.
But that line is aggressive, not physically aggressive, but aggressive with the puck.
They press. They press. They're going to make you make bad decisions, whether you have the puck or not. And if they have the puck, they're going to make you make bad decisions. So it's a heck of a line.
When we come back, the TSN Turning Point. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Bergeron works in over the line. Around back of the net he goes. Near half-boards, across, I pass it, but they score! Pastrnak again on the side of the goal, but what a great feed coming right through the crease, and it's 3-0 Boston.
That is the TSN Turning Point, brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. Now, there was pushback by the Leafs after that, but the hole was basically too big.
Yeah, that was the probably one of the last nails in the coffin that was needed to put there. And, like I said, Leafs, they didn't give up. They didn't quit. They tried to have some pushback, but it just wasn't meant to be tonight. Their finish wasn't there. I didn't see a whole lot of second and third opportunities, to be quite honest with you, in the Boston. They got a lot of shots,
yeah,
but not a whole lot of second and third opportunities. So, what they did well last night in the 6-1 win against New Jersey wasn't there consistently tonight.
But it was in the first period. They just didn't have anything to show for it.
Well, I didn't see a whole lot of second and third opportunities. I didn't see a whole lot of opportunities when Halak had made the first save, was down, and there was a guy there banging away for a second or third chance. And when that doesn't happen, I mean, you saw the replays of Chera knocking Kadri on his backside and Brown taking it in the back with the cross checks and what have you. And, that's a deterrent. And I didn't see a whole lot of guys going there afterwards.
I want to get to that momentum thing again. I mean, it's not, I guess you need the reward at the end of what you're doing. The goal really is the momentum shift. It sort of makes it legitimate, doesn't it?
It does, and time and time again, and maybe the Leafs got a little frustrated after the first period, which they shouldn't have. They were playing well, and especially when they go into the dressing room down one after they played so well. You want to be rewarded. There's no question. Everybody that works and toils wants to be rewarded, and when you work your backside off for a period like that and you have all these chances and you come out empty and then all of a sudden the opposition gets one, it it's a bit of a, I don't want to say take the wind out of your sails, but you start to think, is it going to be one of these nights? Is it going to be one of these nights? And then you try to stay with the same plan. And obviously they didn't at the second because Boston took it to them in the second to start. Then, you know, it's that's how things change. And they can change in the drop of a hat. If Leafs had a score to tie it up 1-1, maybe we're looking at a different game.
But, you know, you recall in the first intermission at 16-12, we're talking about Bergeron's goal and how it was like somebody opened the air valve. They were all pumped up. And, you know, I'm wondering, the way the game is played now, how do you take that out of a team? Because it seems to go on a bit of a run and then it dissipates, much like how the Leafs started. It went on a run, there was no reward, and then an inadvertent play rewards the other guys, and away they go for 30 minutes.
Well, you've got to maybe change your style a little bit. You've got to start simplifying the game and start playing some more time in the offensive zone rather than trying to keep up to the pace of a team that now has the step on you.
Well, they were chasing them.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, get pucks in and start getting on the body. I don't know why guys don't hit Sedano Chara. Like, I honestly don't. He's going to wear down when you hit him and you keep touching him up. And he's the big key to the back end on that team right now.
I know, but I'm glad you opened that door because the hit, I mean, it's a body hit. And clearly, if you hit anybody above the belly button with your stick, you're gone.
You're not using your stick to hit him.
No, I know, but there's all that little contact. I mean, you can't touch anybody with the stick. You're out.
Where does the belly button come in?
All you have to do is raise your stick, and if it contacts the other player, you're gone.
Okay.
I mean, he can grab your stick, and because it's up around your midsection, you're gone.
Okay, but you can also catch him when he's got the puck. He's exposed. He's opening up his floating rib. You know what a floating rib is? Well,
had one for supper last night.
Yeah, you had one for the dinner tonight before the show too.
Yes,
but you want to hear people grunt and lose their wind? Oh, hit them there. But that's how you wear people down. I mean, it's not a dirty hit.
You watch boxing?
Absolutely.
There's an air valve there right where you're describing. And if you don't have to hit anybody in the chin. If you punch right on that floating rib you're talking about, down goes the opponent.
And you know what? In the old days when we played, and it wasn't the old days, it was a very simple way to start wearing an opposition player down. And you know what? They don't even have to be exposed, because if you hit them with their own elbow there with your shoulder, it's going to have the same effect.
That's above the belly button.
It is. But it's a good, clean hit. You're not raising your stick. You're following through in your check with your shoulder. You're not jumping off your feet trying to hit him in the head. You're just driving through the midsection.
But if we go through that analysis, it's almost like Game 7, April, whatever, 25th to 2018, where they just were more physical. That's, you know, at the end of that series, that's how you would describe what happened. And that's what happened here, isn't it?
Absolutely. At the end of that series and at the end of the Stanley Cup Finals, Washington wore their opponents down. They wore Vegas down. They were physical. You know, we talked about it in the preseason. Mike Babcock says you still need size to win the championships, and you need to be physical. And that's what Washington was. They were one of the biggest teams in the National Hockey League last year, and they knew how to use it. And it's still a part of the game, but a lot of people don't use it consistently.
Well, and it's not a big hit. It's just not a big hit. Every play.
It's accumulative.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So if you hit me every shift that I'm out there for the game. So say we have 15 shifts. Do you not think 15 hits on me
absolutely.
Not dirty hits would wear me down?
But you know it's coming, so you alter what you're doing.
Yeah, but everybody says, "Oh, that's the old game." Well, it's not the old game because the champions that win the Stanley Cup do it every night. So if you want to win Stanley Cups, you better learn how to do it and make it a part of your game.
When we come back, we'll have some post-game sound to our network operators. The out time is 10:50 tonight. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network. Leafs Game Night. Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert with you in Studio 5-1. The Boston Bruins prevail over the Leafs. The Leafs split for the West Coast now. L.A. on Tuesday night, followed by Thursday in San Jose and Friday in Anaheim, which is kind of fractured, but nonetheless, that's the schedule.
Well, 3 and 4 nights. I mean, that's...
It used to be L.A., Anaheim, or Anaheim, L.A., and then San Jose.
Well, yeah, that's kind of true. Oh, well.
Anyways.
We'll have to call the league office about that one.
League schedule department, hello.
Yep.
I have no time for you, sir. I'm sorry.
We don't work weekends. Please leave a message.
Yes, that's right. Beep. Let's hear from Coach Babcock.
had a good road start as your club has had here, Mike, just unable to capitalize it moving forward?
Well, we didn't score, and then they came out and did, and they got energy, and obviously then the rest is history. So it's, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. We didn't get her done when we had all those opportunities early, and in the end we ended up chasing the game.
What was the biggest, I guess, change in the early second period, do you feel?
Well, they scored. That's what I think I just said. We're all over them. You know, they get to the first period, through the first period, and nothing's happened, though. I thought we came out and started, they scored, and then they got energy, and they were quicker than us in the second period. And I still thought we had a real good start to the third. We got ourselves set up when we took the penalty, and we gave up the next, then that was it.
Is tonight an example of how Bergeron can kind of just take over a game and his line can...
Well, they really did on the power play. I mean, they got a couple there on the power play for sure. I thought they were good. Obviously, they're a real good line, and their power play's really been clicking coming in. It's not the best in the league, but it's moving fast in that direction, and you got to give him credit. He's a good player, and he's playing with good linemen.
What do you see in Garrett tonight?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at the tape, so I can't really tell you there. The bottom line is you win together and lose together. And like I said, we got off to a good start. We had everything going the way we wanted. It looked like we were prepared. Looked like we had good energy. In the end, they were better.
Long season. You're 6-1 on the road headed to California. You've got to be happy overall in the big picture in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about 6-1. I think about 0-1 tonight. That's where we were. We're playing tonight's game. We'll just get regrouped and get back at her. But things have gone well for us all year, and we plan on regrouping and playing well.
That is Coach Babcock after the 5-1 loss. I mean, I go back to that line. Pasternak with his 15th goal in 16 games with the hat trick tonight. Marchand, 14 assists. Bergeron, 15 assists. Forget about the goals. I mean, these guys are doing something every game. All three of them.
Yeah, well, that's why they're, like I said, they're the top line, if not one of the top lines in the National Hockey League right now. And they're hard to stop because the chemistry is second to none when you watch those guys play. And, you know, we've talked about chemistry with Marner and Tavares and their line and Matthews and his line. And this is where these guys want to get that we're talking about. When we're talking about Tavares and Marner, Matthews and, you know, Kapanen and Marlowe, that's the chemistry that they're looking at. That's the premier line right now. And watch how they play. Watch how they just know where each other's going to be, how they feel.
Great chemistry.
But the other thing, too, is they don't play high risk. They don't give blind backhand passes and hope passes. Everything is eye contact, which is what years ago we were taught to do as players. Is don't make a pass unless you see who you're passing to their eyes. Okay? Because if he doesn't see you or you don't see him, chances are it's not going to connect. And there's a lot of that going on in this game nowadays because they're not taught that. They're the hope and wish pass. They're hoping it works so it gets caught in, you know, the TSN highlights or the highlights of the National Hockey League. These guys play the right way shift after shift. No high risk. They know when they have to dump the puck in when they're in trouble. They know how to play safe, but they also know how to push the envelope offensively, and they commit themselves just as hard defensively.
So back to the line's going to do something on a nightly basis. Back to how the Leafs started. Did they get decoyed by how they were playing, and did they forget about that this line was eventually going to do something? Or, I mean, be the coach of this team. How would you have set this up?
Well, you couldn't have set it up any better because the way the Leafs came out and took the game to Boston, it made this line look ordinary. And until they got on the board late in the period, that's when you start to think, okay, what's going to happen now? Where instead of thinking that, you have to go out and play harder against them and smarter against them and shut them down even more. So it's not about changing all your scheme and system. It's about playing the right way against these guys. There should be one line, the matchup that he had tonight, Tavares and Marner, and I think he changed Marner for Kapanen to get a little heavier because Mitch Marner isn't strong enough, I don't think, to handle either three of those guys. Because they're both, all three, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak are strong guys. They're low center of gravity. They're heavy kids, and they compete. And maybe Mitch, he wanted some heavier guys out there to be more of a shutdown line, and that didn't work. So, you know, and it doesn't start in the third period. it's got to start from minute one.
Okay, but I mean, just for argumentative or debatable purposes here.
You're in that mood tonight, aren't
well,
you?
I mean, you see Bergeron score late in the first period. You see them all pumped up, and I didn't see much in the way of stopping that right. In the second period when it had to happen.
Well, and that's where an experienced team and experienced players recognize that, and they don't sit back. They take it to them harder. They did a good job early. They did find a way. So be it. And I said that at the end of the first. And forget about it. It's over. You got to refocus and go back at them.
Yep.
And go back at them the right way and shut them down for the rest of the night. So it's not like you're shifting everything around to do that. You have the personnel that you believe as a coach is going to do it. Give them the opportunity to do it. And if there's one switch that needs to be made, so be it. You make the one switch. But let your players do it. If that's the matchup and you've told them that's the matchup, stick with the matchup.
More postgame sound now. Let's go to Morgan Riley.
Things get away after such a great start in the road here tonight, Morgan.
A few power play goals against, not enough for. They did a good job playing D, and we didn't do as well.
Is it the same as usual with that Bergeron line
yeah.
in terms of what makes it?
Yeah, they played well.
They just know how
to... They're tough to match up against. They're good.
Leave this behind, but we think Morgan going up to California now. Or
yeah, I think you have to. You know, we got a couple of big games coming up, a few road games. We've been good on the road, and hopefully we can get back to that in California.
How much of this game boils down to that start, and if you maybe score a goal there, it's a different complexion?
I don't know. I thought we had a good start, and obviously it didn't go in, and that's unfortunate, but it's a 60-minute game, so it's important to have a good start. Thought we did that, and then, you know, we didn't really follow up.
Morgan Riley, after the 5-1 loss, your thoughts on what he had to say there?
Well, I think everything he said was pretty obvious. Short answers, he's not happy with the outcome of the game, but that's what it is. I mean, you're not always happy to face reporters at the end of a night like this. You know you played pretty well at times, but ultimately the weapon that you knew you had to shut down, we didn't shut down. And
they dominated.
In a roundabout way, that's what he said. Yeah, we didn't do a good enough job against the guys that were going to hurt us.
Tough spot for Garrett Sparks, who hasn't played in a while. He had 34 shots. He stopped 29, and here's what he said post-game.
Garrett, where do you think tonight's game got away from you guys?
You know, we had a great first period. We came out firing. Can't be down 1-0 going into the intermission there. Obviously, their power play is pretty good. Yeah. So, they got skilled players.
What makes that top line so unique, given an opportunity to see them? I mean, obviously, Freddie saw a lot of them in the spring last year, and they were equally effective.
Well, I think the immediate obvious thing is their chemistry and how they look for each other across the zone. It's not like they're looking to set each other up, you know, 10 feet away. They're making passes 50, 60 feet and one-timing them. So it was just a different look. Obviously, you don't go up against lines like that very often. There's not a whole lot of lines like that in the NHL. And it was an interesting experience going up against them. And, you know, I know what I have to do next time if I want to get the best of them.
How was your comfort level, Garrett, given that you haven't played in a while?
It wasn't bad. I mean, it was I didn't feel bad. I think that, you know, obviously the time between starts is you can use it one of two ways. You can use it to sharpen your game, or you can use it to just sit there and wait for the next start. And I think I've been doing a lot of good work in practice and stuff. And, you know, I don't know if it translated tonight, but overall I feel like, you know, I didn't feel like I was bad in there at all tonight.
Is there one part of it that takes more adjustment than others?
I would just say, you know, their ability to find people through the zone and make passes that you just don't see at lower levels of pro hockey.
Mike was saying that he's liked how you've progressed in practice, getting used mm-hmm. to the different types of shooters you'll face at this level versus the AHL. How have you felt like the practice period kind of went since your last start?
Oh, I've been very happy with what I've been doing, and obviously not that happy with the result tonight, so going to get right back after it and kick it up a few more notches.
And the beauty of the schedule is three sets of back-to-backs this month, one as quickly as next week. A good thing for you to get back as quickly as that.
Yeah, it's a new challenge. Mm-hmm. Sitting long times between starts, it's almost like you you really forget that feeling of being in the net. You try to say that practice is your game, but you just can't recreate gameplay. So obviously if I get another opportunity, I'm going to look to do a little bit more with it.
Have you been able to come up with a routine that kind of works for you?
Yeah, but it's, like I said, it's a daily process to get closer and closer to where I want to be. I don't think that, you know, anybody hits their peak in November, right? So it's just work. It's just an opportunity to work harder.
Garrett Sparks, I mean, I feel bad for him. I don't know. I mean, that would be like starting over every time you play. It's like first game of the year. It's middle of November, first game of the year. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, you know, it's going back to what Ralphie said and what we've said, Jim, is he's got to learn how to do it. This is all new to him. He's never done it before in his life. And, you know, the one comment that you know, he's going to have to learn real quick is, you know, being off that long, it's when you get in there, it's not even really like being back in the net. And he better find something in practice to make it seem like it's game situation every day he's practicing, and that's what's going to prepare him for his next start. So if he goes and practices for another 2 weeks, and I know he's probably going to play at the end of this week, which is good for him, but if he does go through another stretch like this, his practices between games in that situation better be finding something that's a lot of game-like situations, because the next time he does get his chance and he thinks that, well, it's not really like being back in the net. It's getting that feeling of being back in the net. He better find a way to get it.
Just on the goaltender situation alone, this was almost a setup. Halak needed work early because if he got yanked in the last game, and he got it and made all the saves. And at the other end, the guy who hasn't played for a couple of weeks gets nothing until the puck goes in.
I don't think that was the Bruins' game plan. Okay, guys, we're going to get two on this guy.
No, it wasn't the game plan. But if you had to map out a scenario that would absolutely work for one team and not the other, then that was it.
Well, if I was a backup and only got two in the first period, I'd probably be sitting there going through all my water and have to change the water bottle three or four times. So I'd be bored.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is it's tough. It's the NHL, and you have to do what you're asked to do.
You're absolutely right, Jim. And, you know, what would have happened had it been the other way? When the Leafs get shelled by 20 and they get two shots and he lets three or four in, like what's the situation there? Because even after that, you know, the Leafs and Boston started to come back a little bit, I mean, his rebound control, he was having a hard time tracking pucks.
He didn't look comfortable.
He did not look comfortable. He did not look confident. And, I mean, the one goal, Nordstrom's goal. Nordstrom's goal.
Yeah.
He didn't even move on.
No, did not look good.
No. And I don't know whether he was guessing, he was frozen, or he was anticipating something that didn't happen. But that was not a good goal.
No. So. But, you know, I have to say, with retrospective analysis, if you're only going to score one, then your goalie better pitch a shutout.
Yeah, very, very true. But that didn't happen. So, and it's a tough situation he's in. You know, there's a lot of questions about him, and it's not about him being a good goalie. It's just, is he going to be able to adapt to this?
It's the fit.
For the remainder of the season.
More post-game sound now. Mitch Marner.
What is the hardest part?
I think in the second we gave up too many opportunities to them. We didn't compete hard enough. Too many power plays. We've got a great power play over there, as everyone knows. So, you know, it's over with now. We just got focused on LA.
What's the biggest challenge going up against their top line?
Well, I mean, they do so many things, right? They work hard every single night. They know where each other are every single night. They've been together for 4 or 5 years now. So, I mean, their chemistry is very high. The speed they have on the line is very good. Also, I mean, Bergeron is a guy that can win draws anywhere. And, you know, he's very underrated. I think people don't give enough credit for how good he really is. And just the other two really help him out a lot as well. As a unit, I think all three of them have a lot of abilities that make each other work really, really good together. And just when you come to play against them, it's never an easy game, and you got to make sure you're ready.
Do you build off that start, the ability to limit time and space and track as well as the club did in the opening 20 minutes?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Like I said, we got off to a good start. We second period gave up too many opportunities. We let them take the game to us. That's something that we're going to need to fix going into LA. But I think the first period we played the game we wanted to. Gave up too many opportunities in the second. They capitalized, and From there on, we just got to try and battle back. And like I said, we got a penalty that went unfortunate for us, and they're good on that power play, and they capitalized.
Pasternak's kind of like the third guy on that line in terms of experience, at least. What is kind of he brought to the table of that line, do you think, that makes him tough to defend against?
I mean, he's a great shooter. He finds those soft spots for those other two. And I mean, like I said, I think all three of them work very well with each other. They've been with each other for a couple years now. And, you know, I think there's always a guy at the net for them, no matter who it is. And the other one, whoever has the puck, usually is looking around, and the other one's usually getting open. So it's just about trying to stick with your man and watch the puck at the same time. And if you don't do that, it's going to be trouble.
Well, that's pretty good analysis, isn't it?
Well, he's a smart kid, and he's a smart player. And he knows that whenever the Leafs are at their best, they do exactly what Boston did tonight. And they did it for spurts in the first period and then started the third. They were pretty good. But you know what? Good teams, and they find a way to win. And not that the Leafs aren't a good team. But it was almost like they didn't – well, he said it. We didn't force our game on them, and they took theirs to ours.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing to be able to say after a game, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, you know your chances of winning the game whenever you start allowing your opponent to force their will on you is not good. And, you know, the only thing you can really do is hope your goaltender is going to step up, give you the opportunity, and then you can find a way to get one to tie the game or even, you know, cut the lead in half or whatever. But that did not happen this evening.
One more piece of postgame sound from the Leaf dressing room. This will be John Tavares.
What do you take from the second and third periods after such a great start when the team couldn't capitalize on what you were able to do?
Yeah, I mean, they got some momentum in the second after a really good start. You know, we did some better things in the third, but obviously it wasn't the result we wanted. I think we just really got to do a better job against their top line. We, you know, really neutralized them well, other than, you know, they obviously capitalized on an opportunity in the first, but played in their zone most of the night, and then you know, they got some life on the power play, and obviously they, you know, made some plays tonight, and if we're able to limit that, it's, I think, a different hockey game, and obviously we capitalized on some of our opportunities early.
How would you characterize or describe what makes that top line so effective? It seems like they don't need much to break through.
Well, that's it. I think, you know, they're obviously, you know, very creative, very smart hockey players, opportunistic. You know, Patrice Bergeron's, you know, one of the most complete players in the game, and doesn't give you much room the other way, so they don't give you a whole lot offensively as well. So really is a chess match, and just making sure you're doing the best you can and limiting their time and space and making them have to defend. And we did that for good stretches tonight, but just not enough. Obviously, they capitalized on their opportunities.
Bergeron said that you had given him a phone call at some point this summer. Can you kind of explain what that conversation was like?
Well, it was during the free agency period.
And
I was just talking about the Bruins and what about when I was going through that process.
How different might have this game looked had you guys gotten on the board first with that great start?
It's obviously a what if. So at the end of the day, we just got to find a way to get back playing our game and respond. It doesn't always go the way you hope the script would you'd like it to go, but you know, we just got to find a way to respond and keep ourselves in the hockey game and not let it get away from us the way it did. And you know, there were a lot of good things, especially with that start and the way we were skating and causing turnovers and putting pressure on them. You know, I think we had almost 20 shots in the first, so you know, just got to find a stay with it. Obviously, you're going to expect a team like that's very proven and, you know, a lot of talent on that side to respond, but how we can grab them, win them back, and find a way to obviously give ourselves a better opportunity to win.
Are you going to be a quiet flight tomorrow, John, or will you guys be able to put this behind and get set for the Kings starting Monday?
Well, I mean, anytime you lose, it's not a good feeling. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth, especially against a division rival. So there's no doubt, I think, always in the back of your mind, you know, you got that you're looking forward to kind of changing that and getting a better feeling in here and then preparing for the next game. But at the same time, you know, dwelling on it and feeling down on yourself, I don't think is always the best approach. So just enjoy a travel day tomorrow, back on the road with the team, and get some good time with the guys, and then prepare for a tough test on Tuesday.
That is John Tavares after the 5-1 loss to Boston. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network. Leafs game night, TSN 1050. Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio. So the big line tonight for Boston had 9 points plus six. Marchand on Boston television with Alex Kramer.
Brad, this was definitely the bounce back game that you guys needed following Thursday. What was the message in that locker room heading out tonight?
That we had to be better. We knew we didn't have a great game last game, and I thought we came to play tonight, so it was fun.
It's kind of a broken record at this point in the season, but your line was once again the difference makers. Just how much do you relish having that extra responsibility and that pressure?
Yeah, sometimes it goes good. Sometimes it doesn't. Puck was bouncing our way tonight, so they're fun games, but it's a collective effort every night, and there's a lot of little plays that lead up to every opportunity, so we got to give everyone a lot of credit.
Yara Halak, 30-plus saves tonight. How good was he?
He was great, especially early. Gave us a chance to stay in the game. A couple of really big saves on the power play early on, so he had another great game.
You guys just ruined Toronto's perfect away record. How does that feel?
It's good. We knew they're a good team. We knew they were going to come in and battle and compete. They play very fast, a lot of talent. So it's good that we're able to compete with a team like that. And we're going to relish this, but we got to let it go and be ready for tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks, Marshy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that whatever guy. That's all I could say. Whatever, guy. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so what? Okay.
Yeah, good point, though. Very respectful. Coming out of Brad Marchand, it's pretty respectful. I mean, he's got a lot of respect for the Leafs, and he knew how they had to play. And, that's a great thing to hear. They're earning respect around the league from their opponents, and especially guys like Brad Marchand. So.
Well, I would venture to say that if you were embarrassed on home ice, your best players better lead you out of the wilderness, and they did.
Yeah, and we mentioned that earlier. It's Leafs had to be ready for a cat coming out of the corner that's cornered, clawing and scratching. And even though they didn't get off to a great start, their goalie bailed them out, and then they made the Leafs pay after that.
So three big, thick Western teams, King, Sharks, and Ducks. That's going to be intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't want to say they're all struggling. LA's, they're going through their issues now. Anaheim's going through their issues, including injuries. And San Jose isn't the team that everybody expected they would be with the signing of Erik Karlsson. So if Leafs play the right way on this road trip, there's a good possibility they can come home with 6 points.
I think, if you do play the right way, the way the game's played now, you always have a good chance, don't you?
Well, with the parity and the way that, the youth in the league and the mistakes that are made night in and night out, if you play the right way in a cleaner game than the opposition guy, you're going to have a great opportunity coming out with the 2 points.
So, Gibby, it's November 10th.
Yes.
And in 20 days, it'll be November 30th.
Good. That's good, Jim.
Math is adding up.
Yes, it is.
William Nylander, what happens?
Well, that would be December 1st. That's an extra day.
Well, midnight, November 30th, which is,
December 1st, technically.
Which is 20 days plus an hour and a half.
The book says December 1st, Jim. That would be 21 days from today.
December 1st.
I don't know what's going to happen. Supposedly, we don't know I don't know what's going to happen, to be quite honest with you. I don't think they're close enough to come to a solution right now. I know that if they let him sit for a year, they're lessening the value of an asset. And moving him down the road is something that will be a little tougher to do. So they're either signing him and bringing him in, or they're going to trade him away and give somebody else the opportunity to sign him. Trade his rights away and get something back, or sign and trade and go from there. But I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't heard a whole lot on the situation.
Well, not to sign him or not to trade him doesn't help the player or the team.
You're right. They've got to do something. Something, I believe, has to happen before December 1st.
Something must be done.
Yes.
On that note, December 1st is approaching. Thanks for joining us at Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and good night to the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.